sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Coming up on today's program, we present the Lux Radio Theater with Romance, starring Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall. The Lux Radio Theater was first heard on NBC in October of 1934, dramatizing a mixture of movie and Broadway plays from New York. It was originally a Sunday afternoon show, but moved to its long-running Monday at 9 p.m. slot when it jumped to CBS in July of 1935. Less than a year after its arrival on the air, the Lux Radio Theater began to sag. The agency hired Cecil B. DeMille as producer-host, and everything changed. The show eventually was dropped by CBS after its last broadcast in June of 1954, and then revived by NBC in September of that same year as a Tuesday night program. Irving Cummings became the permanent host around 1952, surviving the network jump in the fall of 1954 to ring down the final Lux Radio Theater curtain on June 7th of 1955. Here now, from the late 1930s, is Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall in Romance, another classic show from the golden age of radio on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall in Romance. Lux presents Hollywood. This evening, our cast is headed by Herbert Marshall and Madeline Carroll, starring in Romance with Ralph Morgan and Claire Dodd. Walter Wanger, Hollywood's eminent producer, will be heard as special guest. Our music is conducted by Louis Silvers. And now, your host and producer, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. For me, as perhaps it does for some of you, tonight's play holds many golden memories and brings me back to the Broadway of exactly 25 years ago, to a season of theatrical grandeur seldom seen before or since. It was in February 1913 that this eternally young play, Romance, by Edward Sheldon, opened its remarkable run with Doris Keene and William Courtney at the Maxine Elliott Theater. And it was during that run that Jesse Lasky, Samuel Goldwyn, and I met at the old Claridge Grill on Broadway and decided to take Horace Greeley's advice and start making pictures in a little town called Hollywood. We wondered if we could persuade Dustin Farnham, then playing in a melodrama called Arizona, to take a chance and star for us in our first motion picture. It was a season that saw Jane Cowell in Within the Law, George M. Cohan in Broadway Jones, Lorette Taylor in Peg of My Heart. At 69, Sarah Bernhardt was playing vaudeville at the Palace. George Arliss was starring in Disraeli. Billy Burke, Nazimova, and Maud Adams were there. And so were William Faversham and Tyrone Power, father of the present star of that name. At the same time, a young man named Douglas Fairbanks was bounding through a piece called Hawthorne of the USA. And 25 years ago, as today, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was playing to packed houses. Only the star then was Marguerite Clark. And so tonight, on its 25th anniversary, we bring back romance, a drama as ageless as love itself. Twice a motion picture, our radio play stars one of the loveliest ladies of the screen, Madeline Carroll, as Margarita Cavallini, and Herbert Marshall in the role of Thomas Armstrong, whom we meet for the first after he had become Bishop Armstrong. Miss Carroll is now engaged in filming The River is Blue, a Walter Wanger production. And Mr. Marshall has just completed Mad About Music for Universal Studios. As Cornelius Van Tile, we welcome that veteran performer, Ralph Morgan, while Claire Dodd will be heard as Susan. The Lux Radio Theater presents Herbert Marshall and Madeline Carroll in Romance. Christmas Eve in New York. In the library of a pleasant old house on Washington Square, Bishop Thomas Armstrong rests comfortably in his favorite chair beside the fire. Out of the corner of his eye, he watches his grandson, Gerald, who stands looking out of the window, a worried frown on his face. The silence is broken only by the ticking of the clock. The old bishop lights his pipe and blows a reflective ring at the high ceiling and speaks casually.
Who is she, Gerald?
What's that?
I said, who is she?
Who is who?
The young lady who's causing you so much anxiety.
Why, I... How did you know?
When a young man comes to visit his grandfather on Christmas Eve and devotes the entire evening to cracking his knuckles and looking at his watch, I jump to the obvious conclusion. Who is she, Gerald?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is someone. I was just debating whether to tell you about it. I'd like your advice, Grandfather.
Thank you. A great many people have come to me for that, Gerald. It usually turns out, though, that what they were looking for was a sympathetic listener.
Well, that's part of it, too. You see, I can't speak to Mother about it. Not yet, anyway, and... Well, you'd better prepare yourself for a shock. You see, I'm going to be married.
When?
You're not surprised?
No, not very. It's quite an old custom, you know. What's her name?
Lucille Anderson. I don't think you've ever heard of her, but she's an actress.
I see.
That does surprise you.
Just a little. She's very beautiful, I suppose.
Yes, she is. And clever, too, and sweet. I never met anyone like her before. When you come right down to it, she's 10 times too good for me. She's wonderful, really.
Of course she is, of course. Go on, Gerald.
Well, things have been pretty tough for her lately. You see, she has no folks and jobs are scarce and... Well, she's living all alone in a rotten little boarding house up in the 50s. That's why I think I ought to marry her now, right away. You think I'm right, don't you? Well?
I don't know, Gerald. You're pretty young, of course.
Yes, but...
And your life's just beginning. You'll change. And there may come a time when you'll need more than any little actress can ever give you. You've got to be very sure, Gerald.
But I am sure. Oh, I might have known I couldn't make you understand. You changed the minute you heard she was on the stage.
No, I didn't, my boy. I didn't change. I only remembered. And I do understand, Gerald. Believe me.
I don't see how you could very well. When you were my age, things were different. You were a minister.
And ministers don't have emotions, is that it?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
I know. Sit down, Gerald. I want to tell you something. Something I've never told to anyone before. I used to think I never would.
Well, what is it?
Something that happened to me when I was just about your age, nearly 50 years ago. I was rector of St. Giles then. That was before I married your grandmother. Well, one night, In November it was, November 1888, I went to an evening party at old Cornelius Van Tyl's house. It was a party in honor of Rita Cavallini, the Italian opera star. She was a beautiful woman, Cavallini. Beautiful and fascinating. The whole town had turned out to meet her, and the old house was blazing with lights. As I came up the front steps, I could hear the laughter and the music.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Evening, Joseph. Am I late?
A bit, sir. Mr. Van Tyl's been asking for you.
Tom, where have you been?
Oh, Susan.
I thought you'd never get here. Uncle Cornelius has been pestering me to send a carriage around after you and... Tom.
What?
What's the matter with your eye?
Eye?
Your right eye. It's all red.
Oh, that. Well, the regular Wednesday evening boxing class met in the gymnasium of the church. One of my pupils is on the way to becoming a master.
Oh, Tom. And you know you're supposed to lend dignity to the party.
And dignity it shall be. I'll present her to the left side of my face.
Where is he? In the hall, sir.
There's Uncle Cornelius.
Good evening, Mr. Van Tyl.
Tom, I've been looking for you. How are you, my boy?
Splendid, thank you.
Well, have you met her yet?
Cavallini, no.
But you must, of course. I'll see if I can pry her loose from her admirers. I'll be back in a moment.
Well, shall we get some supper?
Cavallini first, supper afterwards.
Business before pleasure. You're not very keen on this, are you?
What?
Being presented to the great Cavallini.
Well, it's a little out of my line, if that's what you meant.
Well, I'm glad you're here, even if you aren't. You can help put the gossip brigade in their places. They've started already.
On Cavallini?
Yes, they've been whispering all sorts of things about her. Tom, I want you to be very nice to her. You will, won't you?
Of course I will.
Well, come along then and have some supper. It'll be hours before Uncle Cornelius gets her away.
Oh, please,
Madame Cavallini. Oh, Mike had danced, Madame Cavallini. I remember distinctly.
What Madame Cavallini promised it to me.
Per carità, signori, I have done so very much tonight.
Gentlemen, if you please, Madame Cavallini is tired. If she's to sing again tonight, I think she ought to rest.
Si, I really think so. Thank you so much, signori. Take me away, Cornelius, quickly, please.
Come along. Excuse us, please. This way, madam. Sit down, Rita. Here.
Oh, I thought you would never rescue me, Cornelius. Oh, those young men. Oh, Dio, they are so enthusiastic.
Oh, well, you'll be safe up here.
But no more people tonight, please.
Just one or two. There's a young fellow here, rector of St. Giles.
Oh, Cornelius.
Do you mind?
I am very angry with you.
Why?
You invite me to your house. Bene. I am happy to come. But I find I'm invited as an artista, not as a friend.
Oh, Rita, don't be absurd.
It was not like this in France, in Millefleur. I was not just a singer from the opera then. You have not forgotten?
Do you think I ever could?
Do you remember the night I sing to you? When you walk up and down below the window? And how we watched the sea? Il bellissimo mare. Side by side in the moonlight.
I remember. And other evenings, too. It makes me sad a little.
But why?
Because I also remember that I'm growing old, Rita.
Oh, you will forget that in Millefleur when we go there again.
If we ever do.
What do you mean?
Time doesn't stand still, Rita. You're young. You've everything before you. And I... Well? Rita, why don't you marry?
Marry? Me? Oh, Dio mio.
I'm serious. Haven't you ever loved anyone?
You ask me that?
No, you know what I mean. Hasn't there ever been anyone who...
I am happy now. It is enough.
I'm thinking of the years to come. It isn't good to be alone then. I know. What will you do?
I will turn my face to the world and I will say, I am Rita Cavallini. I have lived as I wanted to live and I have been happy. I am happy now. Sono felice. Then, if I must cry a little, I will turn away so no one will see me.
just as you do now.
Oh, go away, Cornelius. You are much too clever for me. And you make me sad. I will not be sad.
All right, dear. You'd better rest anyway.
Are you sure Mr. Van Tile isn't in the drawing room, Joseph?
Quite sure, Mr. Armstrong.
I'd like to see him before I leave, but... Well, I'll wait.
If you'd like a quiet place, sir, you might try the library upstairs.
Thank you, Joseph.
Good evening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know anyone was here. The butler told me that
no,
I could...
No, go, please.
I didn't mean to disturb you. I was just looking for a quiet place.
I am not disturbed. I shall only be here for a moment anyway. Please, you sit down.
Thank you.
You don't like parties, huh?
Well, I wish you hadn't asked me quite so directly.
I know. I don't like them either.
I don't believe we've met. My name is Armstrong, Tom Armstrong. I'm rector of St. Giles's Church.
Rector? Che vuol dire?
The minister, clergyman.
Oh... Oh, I see. Peccato. How very sad.
I beg your pardon?
You are too young.
No, not really. I mean, ministers aren't always old. Any more than opera singers are always robust.
You think they are not?
Well, I don't know. From what they tell me of this Madame Cavallini...
Oh, then you have never seen her.
No, I don't care very much for the opera.
Ah, ecco. Well, you have not missed much when you miss La Cavallini.
Really? Do you know her?
Ah, oh, si. We are very intimate.
Is she as beautiful as they say?
Do they say that?
Of course.
Well, she is not. She is really very ugly. But people do not know she is ugly because they cannot see beneath her makeup.
Oh, I'm sure you must be mistaken. I'm talking of Licia Cavallini.
Yes, I am too, but you have never seen her.
No, I merely bow to public opinion.
That is very dangerous. If you believe the rumors of her beauty, you must also believe the stories of her past. That is public opinion, too.
I haven't heard any stories.
Shall I tell you some?
I'd rather you didn't.
As you wish.
Thank you.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking that you aren't being very charitable. Of all the people who are willing to carry tales, a friend should be the last.
Of all the people who know her, I am the one who knows her best. She will not mind what I say about her.
I should like to have her word for that.
You are defending her. That is most unusual. There are very few people to defend Rita Cavallini.
Then please count me as one of them. You see, I preach goodwill and brotherly love from my pulpit every Sunday. It's only right that I should practice it myself on Monday.
And you would like me to practice it, too.
That's the general idea.
Then you have my word, Mr. Armstrong. Never again will I speak badly of Rita Cavallini.
You made a very sudden reformation.
Very sudden, Poverina.
Very dear. Oh, you here, Tom?
Yes,
Is it time, Cornelius?
The guests are waiting. I told them you were going to sing your aria from La Singra.
But I sing La Singra tomorrow.
Well, should we call this a rehearsal then?
Yes, Cece. You will excuse me, Mr. Armstrong. Grazie.
Tom, shall we go down? I'd like you to hear this. I'm sure you'll enjoy her singing. Tom, what's the matter? Is there anything wrong?
Mr. Van Tile, I feel very, very silly.
Yeah. because it was back of full tonight.
Oh, yes, so many encores. I am very tired, Vanucci.
Madame, you are the visitor.
Good evening.
Oh, Mr. Armstrong.
Hope you don't mind my coming back here.
Oh, no, certo no.
I felt I owed you an apology. For last night, I mean. I must have sounded rather pompous.
Oh, we will forget last night. It was my fault. I should have told you who I was.
I should have known without your telling me.
But you have never seen me.
I've corrected that. I heard you sing tonight. You were wonderful.
Oh, grazie, mille grazie.
Well,
you are not going so soon.
I live downtown, you know. It takes quite a while to...
My hotel is there. I will drive you in my carriage.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Will you wait? I shall only be a moment.
It's really more than just being a minister. You see, our parish is rather large, and we have more than our share of slums.
Slums? Those are the poor?
Yes.
And they are in your care, too?
Well, we try to help them as much as we can. It's all part of the job.
I see. Would it help some time if we were to give a concert?
To raise money?
Si. I would be glad to sing if you would like it.
Would you? Really? You are good.
It is not goodness. I was poor once, too. I know what it is like. So, we will work together then. It will be nice.
I can't tell you what it will mean.
St. Giles Rectory. Was that it, madam?
Yes. Good night, Mr. Armstrong.
Good night, Madame Cavallini. And thank you.
You kissed my hand? Mine?
Because you are kind. And because you are lovely. Good night.
Good night. Drive on, please. Quickly.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
We return now to Mr. DeMille and our play.
We continue with Romance, starring Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall with Ralph Morgan. Fire in the bishop's library burns to a red glow. The old man has paused in his story, looking thoughtfully into the flames. Now he turns to his grandson and in a low voice picks up the thread of his old romance.
And so we planned the concert together, Rita Cavallini and I, almost 50 years ago. We saw a good deal of each other for a few weeks. We became very good friends. It was more than friendship, but I didn't know it then. One evening, a few days before Christmas, Susan came here to the rectory to speak to me about some church affairs. She was sitting near the fireplace, almost where you are sitting now.
Doctor, these are decorations for the church. Mrs. Vander is taking care of those. I think that's all, except for the midnight service on Christmas Eve. Have you decided about that, Tom? Tom?
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say, Susan?
About the midnight service on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes, I thought I'd arrange for the choir to sing carols and the procession to the church. We could start over on West Broadway.
Is there anything I can do for you on that?
Oh, thanks. I'll take care of it myself.
Well, I suppose that's all.
Yes, for now, anyway. Please let me help you with your coat.
We don't see very much of you these days, Tom.
I know. I've been pretty busy. Madame Cavallini's concert took a lot of time.
That was over last week.
Well, there were other things too, Susan.
Yes. Did you enjoy Mignon the other night? I thought I saw you there.
I enjoyed it very much.
She was very lovely, wasn't she?
I liked her even better in La Boheme. and I thought her Violetta was superb. I've been quite often, you see.
I didn't mean it that way, Tom.
It was in your mind, though?
There's nothing in my mind except, well, what people have been saying.
The gossip brigade. Have they been talking about me?
Oh, you know how they are. They've got to have something. I've been doing my best to keep them quiet, but...
I don't need a champion, Susan. I don't need anyone to defend me.
Tom, I'm not going to quarrel with you. We've been friends too long to let a thing like this come between us. I just thought you should know. That's all I have to say, Tom.
I'm sorry. I've been on edge lately. Please forgive me.
Of course. And you'll come to see us again, won't you? When you find time?
Yes, yes. Good night, Susan.
Ready, madam.
Overture. Presto, presto, presto. We must hurry, madame. Overture, the boys say.
I am ready, cara. My scarfa, please.
Oh, the scarfa. The scarfa. Where is it? Go away. It is too late. Go away.
No. Open the door, Vanucci.
But, madame.
Open the door, please.
Hello.
Cornelius. I thought you... Come in, avanti.
Well, you seem a little disappointed. Were you expecting someone else, Rita?
Perhaps. Sit down.
I'd like to speak to you alone for a moment. May I?
Panucci, will you wait outside, please?
Si, madame.
Could you not come to my hotel, Cornelius?
I could have, yes. But I may be wrong. I had an idea I might not be received there.
Maybe you are not so wrong.
Then you know why I've come, Rita.
I think so.
Rita, I have always had a very fond hope that someday Susan and Tom Armstrong would be married.
Yes?
A month ago, I took it for granted. Right now, I'm not so sure. Has Tom asked you to marry him yet?
No.
And if he should?
I would refuse him.
I'm glad of that, Rita. For both of you. But why do you lead him on, then? Is it just that you're amusing yourself at his expense?
See, it is very amusing, Cornelius, to feel your heart torn in two, to lie tossing each night in the darkness, waiting for sleep which never comes, to want with all your heart what your heart forbids your having, to know that tomorrow will be empty as today and every day long. Long into the years. It is very amusing, Cornelius.
You love him that much?
I, who have been so wise. It is very funny, isn't it?
What will you do, Rita?
I have my passage. I sail for England Thursday.
Does he know?
I have not told him yet. I have promised to see him again the day before Christmas.
Overture's almost over, Madame Cavallini.
You will excuse me.
Wait. If you sail Thursday, that's Christmas Day. You can't sail on Christmas, Rita.
They are the same, Cornelius. All days are the same.
Was it the rectory you wanted, madam?
Please, you may stop here.
Yes, madam. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to wait?
What is that singing?
Comes from the church. St. Giles' Choir, I guess.
Oh. Yes, wait. Please.
Will the altos come in stronger on this section, please? A little more.
Mr. Armstrong.
Yes?
There's a lady just came in the back of the church.
Someone to see. Oh. Will you take the rest of the rehearsal?
Yes, sir.
Rita, I didn't expect you so soon.
You must not let me disturb you.
Oh. No, it's quite all right. Shall we go into the rectory?
If you want.
We can cut across the garden. This way, Rita. We're rehearsing for the procession tonight. Do you think you'll be able to watch it?
Perhaps. I am usually tired after the theater.
Oh, well, you'll probably be able to hear it from your hotel. There we are, Rita.
Thank you.
Mr. Armstrong?
Yes, Kate?
Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Van Tuyl is here. And the ladies from the Mother's Aid Committee have been waiting since 4 o'clock.
Oh. Do you suppose they'd mind waiting another half hour, Kate?
I don't think so. They seem to be using their time very well. They're getting a donation from Mr. Van Tuyl.
Good. I'll be in the library, Kate.
Yes, sir.
Go in, Rita. Yeah. Sit over here by the fire. You must be cold.
I'm not really.
You have some tea?
Thank you. I cannot stay very long, Tom.
Oh, but you've got to.
I think perhaps I feel a little out of place here.
Oh, nonsense. You've got to come often. My sister's coming down from Boston next week. I want you to meet her. You'll...
Tom.
What?
I will not be able to meet your sister. I will not be here next week.
Why?
Tonight is the last performance. I am sailing tomorrow.
Rita, you can't.
I must, Tom.
When did you decide this? It must have been very sudden.
No, no.
And you didn't tell me.
I didn't want anything to spoil these last few weeks. I don't want anything to spoil them now.
Rita, you mustn't go. Stay just a little while. Stay until spring.
Non posso. I must sing in Roma next month. In April, I go to La Scala in Milano and...
Rita, listen to me. You're not going to leave. You've never given me a chance to tell you how I really feel about you. I'm going to tell you now. I love you, Rita. I want you to stay here. I want you to marry me. Will you, Rita? Why do you look at me like that? Didn't you know it, Rita? Didn't you know that someday I'd tell you?
I was afraid you would. You are very foolish to love me, Tom.
I don't believe that.
I must make you believe it.
You can't. Because I think you will love me too, Rita.
No.
Then what have all these weeks meant to you? Have they meant nothing?
A little light in all the darkness. No more. A little warmth in the cold. A little flame that burns not long. And then goes out.
No, Rita, you don't mean that. You can't, Rita.
No, please.
Rita.
Let me go.
Tell me I'm right. Tell me you love me.
I love you, Tom.
Rita.
I love you. Caro, I love you. There is nothing in this world but you and me.
Nothing.
This is our moment. Our little moment. But we'll never come again. Hold me close, Tom. Close to you. And then let me go away.
I'll never let you go. Do you understand? Never. You're going to marry me, Rita?
No, no.
What's the matter? What's wrong, darling?
I cannot marry you. Non posso. Again, Tom, please, carissimo. Please don't ask me.
Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't you marry me?
Oh, Tom, Tom, you poor blind fool. Don't you know what I am? Don't you know what I've been? Cannot you see it in men's eyes? The men who crowd around me with their knowing little smirks. Ask your friends why you cannot marry me. And your churchgoers. Ask your friend Cornelius Van Tuyl. He'll tell you.
I don't believe you. You're lying. There's something else.
Ask him.
Very well, I will. Come in.
Mr. Armstrong, the ladies are all
will
ready
you, to... Kate, ask Mr. Van Tuyl to come here, please.
But the committee...
Ask him to come here.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Rita.
I think I had better leave.
Please. You said he'd tell me. Well, I'm willing to ask him, and you should be willing to stay. I know it's not true, and if he says it isn't, you're going to marry me, Rita.
Oh, Tom, Tom, dear. Why do you torture yourself? Let me go now. Forget everything we've said.
Do you think I could? Come in.
Oh, Tom, I... Oh, hello, Rita. Kate said you wanted to see me, Tom.
Yes. Mr. Van Tuyl, I've just asked Rita to marry me.
Have you, Tom?
She insists that there's a reason why she can't. Do you know? Do you know what that reason is?
I? Why, of course not. Why should I know?
Would you approve of our marriage? You're a friend. She said I was to ask my friends. Would you approve?
Yes, Tom.
Thank you.
But if Rita has reasons of her own...
We were to take your word.
I see. Well?
Well?
My congratulations to you both.
Rita, I knew you'd lie to me. Why did you lie?
It was the truth, Tom.
You said you loved me.
I do, and that's why I told you the truth. That's why I'll tell it to you now. You believe Cornelius when he says he knows no reason. Don't you see he's only being kind to me? Don't you see that he's the one who's lying? Ask him about Milbler. He was there. I was there. Ask him. I spoke to you about the look in men's eyes. Ask him about that. He was one of those men.
Rita.
Is this true? Is it true?
I wish I could make you understand, Tom. I'd have given anything in the world to have spared you this.
I don't want your pity. Let me alone. Get out. Both of you.
Oh, Tom. If only you had listened to me first. Why did you make me tell you? We would have said goodbye. Everything would have been so sweet. Now there is nothing but pain and bitterness. Goodbye, Tom. And thank you for having loved me.
Pause for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall return shortly for the third act of Romance.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Our play, starring Herbert Marshall and Madeline Carroll with Ralph Morgan, continues. On Christmas Eve of the present day, the old bishop relives the scenes of his youth. His grandson leans forward with eyes intent on the old man's face.
And here, on that night, 50 years ago, the whole world suddenly seemed to fall away from me. They left, Rita and Ventile, and I sat here alone, alone with my thoughts and the broken pieces of my life. And then suddenly I was on the street, walking blindly through the snow. I must have walked for hours, seeing nothing, hearing nothing, only the dim echo of Rita's voice ringing in my brain. I remember people on the street stopping me, staring at me. I remember thinking how like...
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong. Out without a coat, Miss Weather, you'll get your death of cold, Mr.
You poor blind fool. Don't you know what I am? Don't you know what I've been? Can't you see it in men's eyes?
Blind fool. Blind fool.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Armstrong.
They've been looking for you at the rectory. Procession almost ready to start.
I love you.
Mr. Armstrong.
I love you. Carissimo, I love you.
Mr. Armstrong, where are you going? The procession starts over this way. Mr. Armstrong.
Ask him about me, sir. He was there. I was there. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him,
Blind fool. Blind fool.
Good evening, Mr. Armstrong.
Fool.
Mr.
Armstrong. Fool. Fool.
Let me take your coat, Rita. Here, sit down, dear. You must be tired out.
It is good to be home again.
I left a message at the desk that you were not to be disturbed. You were magnificent tonight, Rita. Did you hear them cheer? 20 minutes. My ears are ringing yet. It was a great triumph, Rita. The greatest of your whole career. Did you know that?
A great triumph. Tomorrow they will have someone else to worship. A month from now, they will not even remember my name. Si, and grand triumpho.
Rita, you didn't always feel this way.
Things were different then. Something happened to me this afternoon, Cornelius. Something went dead inside of me. I'll never really live again.
You will, Rita. Don't think I'm being hard, but... But time has its own way of healing wounds.
I know time heals everything. But will it take that look from his eyes when I told him, Cornelius? Can time give him his youth again? His smile, his light heart?
Even that, Rita, believe me. And for you, there's work. And perhaps in Mille Fleurs, perhaps we can find that magic again, Rita. You and I.
No, Cornelius.
Why not? Why can't we try?
Don't you know? That part of my life, it's over. It's finished, Cornelius. Oh, I know you're trying to be kind, but is it kindness? In these last few weeks, I learned something. All new and beautiful. The goodness of the world. It come like some great light that burn and blind. And strike me to the ground. For the first time, I see myself as I am. And it hurts me so. I cannot go back now, Cornelius.
But if you could only forget.
I do not want to forget. I want to remember. Every day, every hour, every minuto, I want to remember. Because he'll remember too. And perhaps, someday, he'll know how much I really loved him.
Madame Cavallini, it is almost midnight. You are going to sit up more?
Ivanucci.
If we are to sail tomorrow...
I am not tired, Cara.
No, madame. Io sono stanca.
Have you finished with the packing?
Almost.
Then go to bed. I will not need you any...
Tom.
Tom, why did you come here? Vanucci.
Si, madame.
Tom. What is it? Why do you stare at me? Your hair is wet. Have you been walking in this snow?
Yes. Yes, I've been walking. I was thinking about you. And praying for you. Praying for you in the twilight. In the evening. In the black night.
Praying for me?
In my prayers, I felt a hand here on my arm. Someone stopping me to speak. And I looked down. And it was you.
Tom.
I heard you crying as I ran away. Ran I don't know where. Till I saw lights and people. And then a beggar woman standing at the curb held up her hand. I gave her something. She thanked me. With your voice.
Tom, you must.
I saw you walking by me in the streets and looking at me out of windows. I couldn't move. You were so thick and close around me. Then it began to snow, and I thanked God, hoping it would blot you from my sight. But each snowflake was a tiny face. Your face. thousands and thousands of you swirling in your devil's dance by the glare of the street lamps. And not one spoke. You looked at me imploring, speechless. Then suddenly I knew. You were begging me to bring your soul to God before it was too late.
Tom, you frightened me.
Everything is over between us. Seared away. But I am still a minister of God. And you are a woman who needs my help. Our love is gone. But I offer you another. The love I bring you tonight is God's alone.
Don't, please. You don't know what you're saying.
Hold out your arms to him. Open your heart to him. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. For you come out of great tribulation and have washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Open your heart to him. And no longer shall you hunger. No longer shall you thirst. For he will lead you to the living waters and the tree of life. And you shall be a bride. A bride.
Oh, Tom. Tom, my darling. Have I hurt you so much? So much that you cannot even pray for me? No, let me hurt you, Tom. Please, no, let me hurt you. We were not meant to love each other. I know that now. We are brought together, you and I, only that you might help me. And you have. You come tonight to bring my soul to God. But your work was over. Long, long ago. That night in the carriage. Do you remember, Tom? You kissed my hand. It was then your work was done. Now go away, dear. Va via. And forget.
No. I've lied to you. I've lied to myself. I thought I came here tonight to save my soul. I didn't. I came because I love you.
No.
I love you. I don't care what you are or what you've been. Do you understand that? I don't care. I want you. I want to marry you.
You don't know what you're saying.
I do. We could be married tomorrow. We could go away together.
Go away, yes. Go away and hide. That's what we'd be doing. Oh, Tom, listen. Listen to me, please. For the first time in my life, I know what it is to be strong. Let me keep that strength. Let me be a little proud and hold my head up high. Don't make me ashamed again. You have your church, your work.
You're more to me than that. You're more to me than life.
Tom. Am I more to you than God himself? You prayed for me before. Now let me pray for you.
Rita.
Please go. Now. Before it is too late. Listen. You hear? That's your world. That's where you belong. Go back to it, Tom. Go back to God.
Rita.
Ave Maria. Gracia plena. Dominus tecum. Benedicta. Tu in mulieribus.
Rita.
Et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis. Amen.
I remember her, standing there with her eyes closed, her head thrown back, praying for me. I never saw her again. Some years after, I married Susan, your grandmother. She made me very happy, Gerald, all my life.
And
Madame Cavallini. Where is she now?
She went back to Europe that Christmas day in 1888. She sang for a few years more in Berlin, in Paris, in Italy, and then she died. She was a great woman, Gerald.
I think you were pretty fine, too.
Nonsense. But I hope you understand now that I haven't quite forgotten what it feels like to be young.
Grandfather, I've been a fool, but your story's helped a lot. I know now what I'm going to do.
Do you?
I'm going to marry Lucille just as soon as I can get hold of a license.
What? But that wasn't why I told you the story.
I know. But I hope you don't mind.
No, Gerald, I don't mind.
Thanks. Good night, Grandfather, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my boy.
Slowly the curtain falls, and our evening's romance is over. Not since a year ago last December, when we presented Cavalcade, have we had the pleasure of hearing from Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall together and as themselves. To their native England, Hollywood owes a great debt for giving us not only two superb performers, but two very charming people, Miss Carroll and Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. You know, Hollywood is the most amazing place in the world.
Are you speaking for the Chamber of Commerce, Madeline, or for yourself?
For myself. Last fall, I left Hollywood to visit my place in Spain. I traveled 6,000 miles, only to find that the better part of valor was to keep out of Spain. Then I came back to Hollywood, and before I had a chance to catch my breath, I found myself in Spain.
Just one moment, Madeline. Would you mind starting again at the beginning? I'm afraid that...
Well, it's just as startling as it sounded, Bart. This picture I'm making, The River is Blue, is as Spanish as a bullfight or a hot tamale. And if you'd like to see what Spain really looks like, just come along to the location set Mr. Wanger has built down the coast, some 30 miles from here. I can't show you my house, but I can show you a Spanish seaport to the life.
As for you, Mr. Marshall, while I know you never taught school, I'm sure your impressions of a man like Washington would be interesting to all of us.
Well, C.B., you see, when I first came to this country, I felt rather sorry for myself. It was all so new to me, so strange and different. But as I became acquainted with America, with its vigorous, romantic background, I was able to see it as I think so few Americans are privileged to see it. To so many Americans, it's an old, taken-for-granted story. Valley Forge is an old story. Something to be learned in grade school and then filed away in the distant cabinets of youthful learning. May I suggest, in all humility, that someday all of you dust it off and read it again. The story of a solemn man torn with pity for a starving, ragged rabble of freezing skeletons once dignified by the name of army. A man heckled and tormented and abused by those who had given him a command he had not sought. A man facing enormous odds, robbed by defeat of everything but a dream, a vision of a new land. Washington turned that dream into a truth, and in so doing, lifted his name to immortality. And now, C.B., my thanks and good night.
Good night, Mr. DeMille.
Good night, Madeline. Good night, Bart. That was finally said. Louis Silvers appeared at the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios, where he was in charge of music for the new picture, The Baroness and the Butler. Mr. Marshall's latest RKO film is Breakfast for Two. And now, here's our producer. Like tonight's story, the play we bring you next Monday evening comes to the radio, backed by an enviable record of success on stage and screen. Its title... Forsaking All Others, the romance of a modern girl jilted on her wedding day. The girl will be played by one of the most talented dramatic actresses in Hollywood, Miss Bette Davis. Co-starred with her will be Joel McRae. And resuming the part he played in the Broadway production, Anderson Lawler. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night. And the Lux Radio Theater presents Bette Davis and Joel McRae in Forsaking All Others. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood. The Schoendoerner heard tonight is from the collection Waltzes of Vienna. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From the late 1930s, there's Madeline Carroll and Herbert Marshall in Romance from the Lux Radio Theater. Well, I'm afraid it's all we have time for today, but tune in again next week, and why not invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, sat listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you, sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big band swings.